This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
As the NBA gets ready to begin scrimmages tomorrow, which, like we were doing with baseball this weekend, we will tune in because we'd just love to see live sports, and they'll begin their scrimmaging tomorrow. Life in the bubble has been interesting. We've seen it from the eyes of the players, and we're also seeing it from the eyes of those reporters who have been invited into the bubble and had to go through the process. And one of them is our own Mark Spears from ESPN, who's a senior writer with The Undefeated and has a long and very well-established career in covering this sport and many others as well, and a good friend of mine. Mark, I appreciate you giving us a few minutes here. I know it's busy times right now in Orlando, but let me ask you at the very beginning, what was your experience, I guess, like going through the quarantine process and then being cleared, having to probably stay isolated for a while? Just what was that part like as you got to Orlando and went through it?
Well, first of all, Masai just told me to get off the phone call with you. He just was trying to call me back from a phone call last night, and I'm like, no, Han has me on a radio show, so I can't get off right now. He's like, get off, and I'm like, no. Yeah. I made a commitment to Han first.
And I'm sure. And
so know that I'm putting Masai on hold to talk to you, brother.
And now it's going to cost the Knicks another first round pick, I guess. That's how he charges us.
he didn't get that gig either, so maybe there's a grudge. What's up, right? But no, it's every day is a new interesting day. Like today, I figured out how to get my packages. You know, and we did quarantine for a week. It's strange because you basically get to the hotel, they shove you into your room. I didn't know what the property looked like. We got zero tour, and you're getting food from like 8 and noon and like 6 o'clock, and they're just like leaving this food outside your door, and they give you a whole bunch of drinks. And it wasn't until like 2 days in that Lisa Salter said, you know, for dinner at least you could get room service, so I figured that out. And so I've been so busy, I haven't had a chance to get bored. But I feel really blessed to be here. This is history. This is a unique environment. I wish the Knicks were here so you would be here. But it's just like almost like a weird dream. Like I just bumped into Kyle Korver. You know what I mean? I saw Lakers assistant Phil Handy riding a bicycle yesterday. Like it's just all kind of weird stuff all the time. Although we don't really have access to the players other than practice itself. And games when they come. Scrimmages start tomorrow. But every day, man, it's just unique, odd experience. But at the same time, I feel like we're in the healthiest place in America.
It's like the surreal version of the Summer League, right? I miss the Summer League because of that. You spend 10 days and
go on top
you run
of that,
into everybody.
It's like Summer League, but varsity showed up.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Not JV.
Yes, you're right.
Varsity's here.
Yeah.
But we can't go nowhere. Like, we're not going to the club at Caesars. You know what I'm saying? about having dinner at Tao before I...
Oh, yeah. It was such a tough life.
You know what I mean? I'm
having
I'm pulling my food out of a refrigerator and just grabbing what's for dinner tonight, Mom? You know what I mean? I have no choice in the matter.
Yeah, so how have you looked at this from a historical standpoint, the fact that you've been given the responsibility of the storytelling of what this moment is like and being able to put it in a capsule, because we're going to have to revisit this in history, and it's going to be a 30 for 30. There's going to be things written about this moment in time. Have you really thought about the gravity of your responsibility that you've been given?
Yeah, I mean, especially working for The Undefeated, you know, where we write about race and culture, so... Maybe my Twitter followers are getting a little weary from me, but anytime I see something or hear something that a player says that has a social injustice impact to it, I'm tweeting it. Like, I'm in here, I'm hearing it,
right.
I'm seeing it. They revealed that Black Lives Matter is on the court today. That's beautiful. That's significant. You know, the players are not only meeting amongst their team in terms of figuring out their social message, but also meeting with other teams. And so it seems like there's certainly something that, you know, they're taking serious. I've heard Breonna Taylor's name like every day from the players. They're saying her name loud, hoping for justice for her family. And, you know, seeing The Raptors come here with a Black Lives Matter bus, and Cal Corver having Black Lives Matter, a white guy having it on the back of his jersey. Like, it's pretty deep. It's pretty amazing. And, like, I hope we never have this experience again, but there's going to be a day when the world is better, and I'm going to be, at a bar, Soho House in Brooklyn when I get out, and they're going to be like, yo, you were in the bubble, huh? Like, yeah.
One of the world's best pickup line. Are you kidding me? but you know, it is obviously, it's something that I would encourage. If I was there with you, that's one of the things I know I'd be doing, is keeping a journal and every detail I can remember, so I'd never forget it, because it's going to be a story to tell for many years. And it is a bit of a coming together on many levels that's going to be, I think, historic. And you mentioned it, and I want you to expand a little more on it, because, you know, you said it quickly, and I want to make sure the listeners heard. They did let the media come in and see the court where the players will be playing and what we're going to watch on television. But there is messaging and signage, and especially on the court, very prominent Black Lives Matter right there on the floor. It's going to be in view throughout every single game. You can't miss it.
Instead,
how significant is it to
Madison
see that?
Madison Square Garden is going to say Black Lives Matter. You know what I mean? Like, that's like every time you see somebody run down the court, it's inevitable that you see it. You'll see messages on their jerseys, their shoes, maybe their headbands after a game. There probably will be some players that, I just want to talk about Breonna Taylor. I don't want to talk about the game. You know, I could see Tobias Harris having that kind of message. It's going to be that first day, that first weekend of basketball, not only from a basketball standpoint, because just being in the gym yesterday, guys, I was in the gym.
Yeah.
They were hooping. You know how much fun that was to see dudes hooping yesterday?
Yeah. I missed that.
That was cool.
Yeah.
But then to know that there's this other aspect, a more meaningful, more life, world-changing side to it, too. This is – I've covered a lot of unique things in my career, including Olympics, and not covering a Nuggets game in Dallas because the space shuttle blew up in Texas, and I had to cover that. Mm-hmm. Being there when McGuire broke a home run record, I've been to an event with Muhammad Ali. Now, this is at the top for sure.
Now, how many more opportunities is it going to be? Because I was on the side of you should play basketball because I think you can use that platform. So how much more access are players given, you know, people like you, so that you can have these features? I feel like halftime is an opportunity to do a sit-down feature to talk about, aspect of the movement. I feel like it's also a time because sports and athletes have always been on the front line of justice. And I feel like the NBA kind of started this when, Carmelo and LeBron. Brian, they sit on the stage on the ESPYs, and they were talking about Trayvon Martin and, how important it is. And I feel like it's coming back full circle, and they have an opportunity when they're going to have the eyes to have a subliminal message without throwing it, so much into the face of those who oppose it. If you love basketball and you love sports, you're going to see Black Lives Matter, and it's going to be subliminally in the minds of people who may not even agree with it, but it's going to start a conversation within the homes, maybe of that kid, so that you can affect the next generation to understand what that means and why it's so important, and for them to ask and witness what they're seeing today.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool because I'm like the popular reporter here now, because the guys know what I typically want to talk about. And so, yeah, we got time for more. We got time. I mean, I think they loved Undefeated and the message that we're bringing, and, everybody isn't going to be happy about it, but I think with all these messages that the players are having, man, I like really am big on, even if it just affects one person, that's a big deal. There's going to be some kid that's going to be in an environment that's not an open-minded environment. That could be a racist environment. That could be an environment where they don't see any black people. Like I talked to Sam Presti, the Thunder GM, the other day, said he didn't meet anybody black until the fifth grade, So, a lot of times people are a product of their environment. But when they see Mike Conley wearing I Am A Man, maybe a kid will Google that. Well, why does he wear I Am A Man? Oh, it's the sanitation worker strike in Memphis in 68. Let me learn more about that, maybe after learning what, this player is doing or that player is doing, even if I have a cold home, maybe this can change me to have a warm heart that's different. the world is going to be watching, and I think the players understand that, and they're going to, even though they're going to be competing, they're going to band together to get their message out. And I think it's hard to grasp from the outside, but I'm watching the gumbo being made. I'm seeing the ingredients starting to go in the pot, and the pot starting to stew. And then when it gets served, you know, that first, you know, Wednesday next week through the weekend, I think it's going to be beautiful. It's going to taste great.
I always
use the, everybody.
Well, it's an acquired taste, and that's what you're hoping it eventually becomes. And it's a phrase I always use from the show Hamilton is when I say history has its eyes on you, right? And that's the important thing of how we came together and how you make, you know, everybody now is a curator of this from here, and that's where it goes. And just to let everybody know too, the story you're referencing about Sam Presti, you can find on ESPN, and it's a terrific story about how really for Presti, you know, how it with the experience of sports basically opened that door, and a lot of us can relate to that. Many of us can on that side of it. Now, I know Masai's waiting for you, so I don't want to keep you too long. I know you got to go, and I appreciate you, by the way. I feel for the first time I have an advantage now over Masai Ujiri, for the first time. But I do want to ask you, though, about the coronavirus and the whole idea of the bubble, and that you have 346 players tested, and none of them test positive. So the concept of the bubble is that once you're in the bubble, there should be no virus, so therefore there should be no positive tests. And there's been so much talk about the snitch line and telling on people and all that stuff. But I'll tell you what, though, Mark, now that you know it's zero, so this house is clear, you know, that's good. But you don't want to be the guy that pops that bubble. So maybe you don't want to snitch on people, but are everybody watching each other and just sort of saying, like, make sure you do the right thing, because this house of cards can come down quickly, and all it takes is one guy to make a mistake.
Well, I think if it comes down, it comes from the outside. And the one thing I've been seeing about these workers here is like somebody like basically, I feel like someone has screamed on them before they started working. Like they pay attention to distance. If I get delivery to my room, they put a cart, like food delivery, a cart in front of the door and or a little stool, and they put the food on top of it, and they go 12 feet away.
Okay.
I open the door and they're like a football field away. You get your food? Yep. All right. Cool. You know, close the door. I'll get the thing.
Right.
Like they are being real, real conscientious. That everywhere we go, there's Clorox wipes. I can't find no Clorox wipes at home.
You can't buy like, them anywhere.
Yeah. So they gave me like 20 masks. There's Clorox wipes. There's people yelling at you. Like, everybody has to wear a mask. It's not any, they don't care about your rights or whatever. Here, you need to wear a mask, and you're wearing a mask. So, yes, I do think it's extremely the safest environment that you could possibly be in, unless you just stand in your sterile house and having your food delivered every day. I mean, there's little things you could fix here and there, but the fact that we're getting tested daily and I'm getting the results the next day, like I'm getting have friends in Oakland being tested, and they find out 18 days later. I'm getting my results every day. So even if something were to come up, there's a hospital on the premises. They have a means to like quarantine it, to stop it, that, you know, knock on wood, that I hope resumes through the whole time. Like I don't want to leave until there's a cure, like the next year, you know what I mean? Like it's even if there is a little blow up somewhere somehow, which it's possible. I challenge you to find any other place that, you know, is sanitized as this spot.
Well, that's good news, because that means that hopefully then we'll see this thing through all the way to an end, and then we can get back to fighting over which team's going to win and why and who should get MVP and all that fun stuff, because like you said, it's basketball. You get in the gym and we get back to feeling a little more normal. So I'm glad you're getting that experience, Mark. And again, thanks so much for a few minutes here. Greatly appreciate it. Good to hear from you. Stay safe, and hopefully we'll catch up with you soon.
All right, brother. Y'all take care.
All right. Mark Spears, again, senior NBA writer for ESPN on The Undefeated, and does tremendous work, great connections, and the stories. And obviously, as he told you, like his angles, his takes generally have social issues connected to it. And a lot of it, obviously, these days, some fascinating work for him. And for him to be there in the bubble, Bart, I'm telling you, I've known Mark as long as I've known him. He's like me. You know, I just want to be in the gym. I want to be around the game. I just want to talk to people. Like he's, but the way he described the bubble, like when you heard the way he talked about it and his experience and what he's seeing, do you feel a little bit more confident about it?
I feel a lot more confidence even just by looking at, you know, what the test results were and understanding that everybody feels it, not, you know, the reporters as well. They're being socially responsible. They understand how important it is, and nobody wants to be that component that breaks the test, because right now we're saying, hey, everybody's good. And if we don't stay good, it's because somebody didn't do the right thing. And you don't want to be the one pointed out once they contact Trace and check the cameras and all that stuff and say, okay, you were the one that did this. And you won't be welcome back in the bubble. And then now people are going to say, you know what? That dude's selfish. And it can damage brands. You know how Rudy Gobert.
Yeah.
His brand was damaged, and he tried to repair it by saying, hey, I'm sorry, I didn't know, I didn't take it serious. And then some people can understand it, right? Because this is before it was a mass pandemic in our country. But now, anybody mm-hmm. that does it now, you knew what the ramifications potentially right. could be, and you didn't care, so you're not going to get that second chance. You canceled. You talk about cancel culture, somebody can get canceled.
Again, you know, sorry doesn't repair the league. Yep. Sorry doesn't make up for $1 billion in revenue. But that court, if you look at it, and the fact that it has Black Lives Matter written in bold letters across the court. And there's also matrix boards around like the court, lower level, where there's going to all kinds of signage and all kinds of stuff is going to be up there. So it's a real interesting look what they've done for the basketball. It's going to be very interesting to watch. NBA TV is going to have all the scrimmages. So if you have NBA TV, you can actually see some of the scrimmaging that's going to be going on. But how do you feel? And do you think the NFL should follow what the NBA is doing here by putting some messaging on their field?
I mean, remember, this thing started, this outrage about Black Lives Matter started with the NFL. Now, I began a little bit with the consciousness with, you know, the Banana Boat crew, where they want to talk Chris Paul and, you know, Melo and Wade and LeBron. But Kaepernick took it to an uncomfortable, different level. And I feel like coming back full circle, I feel like looking at what's about to be displayed on the NBA is going to force the NBA to respond, to say that they're doing enough as well. Because they were the one that denied a player the opportunity because he was standing for this or kneeling for this. So now, you know, once we see, like, what's going to happen. See, the thing is, like, if you're a person that doesn't believe in the movement, then you can boycott the NBA. But then boycott the NBA and the NFL? If you're a real sports fan.
Then you're not a real sports fan. Right, yeah.
Yeah, to be able to do that is tough. And then, I mean, if baseball does something, then what are you going to do? NASCAR is already doing it. You got to go watching cornhole. You ain't got nothing.
I've always felt that. Anybody that's like, I'm never going to watch another NBA game, well, you probably were never really an NBA fan.
Yeah, exactly.
Because if you love basketball, right, like you don't just stop. Like, I love the game too much to just like let stuff like that get in my way. I'm just looking for a reason is all you're doing there. I want to remind you to tune into the ESPN Daily Podcast. It brings you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters. Presented by Marathon. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily. Available wherever you enjoy your podcasts. And also, Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. Gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof's in the Pennzoil. Based on sequence for a wear test using SAE 5W30. But I want to bring up, as quickly as we can here, LeBron James recently talking about his MVP, the story of the MVP voting. And now, as you know, the league, and they made it official today, that all regular season awards now will be based only on the season up till March 11th when they stopped. So these eight games are not going to count. Now, we know that LeBron was closing in on Giannis. He was closing in on him. And as we talked about it, you know, he was 10-1 odds on March 5th by mm-hmm. Caesars. By March 7th, after beating the Bucks and also beating the Clippers, by March 7th, that went down to 5-1 odds. So Caesars started to see LeBron was on his way, right? And I think a lot of the voters are feeling the same way. And, you know, we talked about it back then. Remember I said how all of a sudden that LeBron Incorporated is starting to kick in and we're starting to see, mm-hmm. right? The media started mobilizing, making the case. So now it seems like Giannis is more than likely going to claim his second straight MVP.
And who else? Who else benefits from this?
Who else benefits from
Ja?
Ja Morant for Rookie of the Year. Yeah, that's true as well. But now LeBron, of course. What I like about LeBron is he's willing to talk about anything.
I don't even know what you're talking about, Shorty.
Well, there are times, though, when he does talk about it, he opens himself to criticism. Take a listen to this.
I'm not sure what I'm capable of doing, not only individually, but from a team's perspective, us being number one in the West. There was a lot of conversation about, you know, LeBron can do those things in the East, but if he ever came to the West, what can he do? You know, I heard all of that, and to be able to have our team at the top of the Western Conference and playing the way that we were playing at that time and the way I was playing, that's definitely a good feeling.
Who cared? Did the Clippers really care about if they were number one or not? Did they low manage Kawhi? And if this season would have continued, LeBron would have been breaking down and Kawhi would have been healthy for the days of being able to rest. Now, really, I think that this break has really evened the odds and gave you a refreshed LeBron who, if he has to carry the Lakers, will have the energy to do so. So nobody cares about what you were trying to do and try and win the MVP because you were talking about the dead king or whatever. What was the narrative before?
Wash King.
You're putting all this energy into something that the Clippers didn't even care about because Kawhi only cares about what happens when you win the title. That's what he about. He about winning three titles with three different teams and being an MVP on every one of those teams, Shorty. That's what he care about. Then when he does that, then what are you going to talk about? And Tessa, don't at me, Tessa. Don't come at my Instagram. Don't come at my Twitter. Don't come at my Facebook Live. None of that. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not a LeBrick fan.
I got to give Carl Rood credit because yesterday he tweeted at me as I was stumbling through trying to explain the idea of if I have to tell you how great I am, right? And he was right. It's any man who says I'm the king is no king. That's the phrase I was trying to find. And that's what you take from this is like he's telling you his credentials. They said I couldn't do it. We were number one in the West. How's Golden State doing this season? Where were they this season with everybody hurt? When Golden State comes back, you know, let's talk. And oh, by the way, let me just throw this caveat out there. I know Anthony Davis changed his agent and now is represented by Rich Paul.
Really?
Part of LeBron's, you know, obviously LeBron Incorporated. But if you're Anthony Davis and you have a big decision, let's say, to me, LeBron's future is completely based on what Anthony Davis decides to do. He's got so much power right now.
Yes.
Because he could think to himself, I'm 27. Do I want to be
stuck here by myself
in this guy's shade for the next couple of years? Yeah. And then when he walks away, what do we got here?
Right. You got to carry everybody. Like, all right, well.
Like, when he walks away, what do we have here?
You don't feel like Scottie Pippen when Jordan.
They're going to get rid of every young player. They're going to go and try to build what they did in Cleveland and just get as many vets in and try to win something for LeBron. And then when he's deciding it's time for me to retire, well, what do I have left here? If you're Anthony Davis, do you even think a little bit about a guy that you once climbed into the stands to hug after winning the national championship at Kentucky? Do you know who that man was?
Went in the stands to hug.
William Wesley. He won the national championship at Kentucky, and one of the things he did while celebrating was walk into the stands to give William Wesley a hug. Mm. This guy very close to him for many years. Just saying. You never know. Just saying.
Look at you, glass half full today. Look at you.
Not glass half full. I'm just saying that LeBron's future is tethered to this guy.
Yeah, that's why Kyrie. That's why. That's why
he's
Kyrie
got a lot of power.
That's why Kyrie got the hell out of there. Because every year you have to decide what LeBron's going to do. And I'm living in his shadow. And arguably, you can make the statement that you know Anthony Davis has had just as a dominating season as LeBron has had.
Yeah, his numbers are great, but he'll never be the man there when LeBron's there because it's always going to be about LeBron. When the Lakers win, it's because LeBron led them to the win.
I think if they win, Anthony Davis leaves. if they lose, he stays because he knows he has to get a championship on his resume so he can go out and speak as a champion. Same reason why LeBron went down to Miami, because he has to be able to speak as a champion. He knew he couldn't carry Cleveland that way.
It's like I said, keep an eye on that as they have the short off season. I'm sure it's probably 80% he's going to stay in L.A., right? Probably 90%.
Yeah,
but that little 10% makes you wonder.
And his dad out there with them Nuggets.
Well, that's also important, too.
Dad out there with them Nuggets. And if you can get Donovan Mitchell, we got action. Donovan Mitchell, Mitchell curious. Robinson.
Very curious. That's all. At some point this week, the Knicks are probably going to announce Thibodeau, right? Don't they have to?
They're still looking for a coach? They're still looking for a coach.
I mean, if the NBA gets started, it kind of gets lost. So, anyways. What do you think of what I said about Anthony Davis?
I think it's a realistic thing, man. Listen, we know that he didn't commit, and I understand sometimes.
He's got all the power right now over LeBron.
Absolutely. LeBron, like, please, man. You know, let's just talk about how great LeBron is. He was openly trying to ask Kawhi, please, Kawhi, come on over here, man. We can make a big three, man. We can do it. He was like, nah, man. LeBron, you the king. You acting like the Dutch. You chump. I'm going to the other side, and I will defeat you.
Yeah, that had to have been like, you're going where?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm coming to LA. Oh yeah. You coming to LA? Yeah, yeah. The Clippers.
Who am I? You think I'm about to be Bosh? Like, who would be Bosh in that situation?
I'm about to be Bosh.
Like, man, you lost your mind. I just won an MVP, man. I just made the Toronto Raptors, which is equivalent to you bringing the Cleveland Cavaliers to a championship. I'm trying to pass you, bro. How can I pass you if I'm with you? Nah, right. Man. Go ahead, LeBrick.
Right, I want a title in another country.
Yeah, exactly, bro. First ever. Like, they got to put a trophy. They got to put a trophy of Kawhi up there, man. First ever. Like, that. They'll never win another championship in Toronto again.
Uh-oh. Okay, you're now predicting that. All right, yeah. We save that one. Let's just make sure we save that one.
Yeah, they won't
come close. Look, I'll tell you what. Who's going to be the Bosh in Brooklyn? Because you know they're looking for a third guy.
It's going to be
they're looking for a third guy. Who's the Bosh? Who's it going to be?
It ain't Bradley Beal.
You think it's going to be another guard who wants the ball?
Well, you know it ain't going to be KD. KD better get his buckets, or he's going to go straight to
Twitter.
That's
what I mean. You got two guys that want to put up 20 shots a game.
So Kyrie don't really care. Guy. Kyrie just want to dribble and dish. Let me cross you over. Three crossovers.
I think it's got to be like a four, like a guy who's like a four or five type. Don't you
LeVert?
Think?
Maybe
more of a three, just a spot up three guy, like a 3-point shooter, like somebody that. It's just money from downtown and can D up star level. I don't know.
And who is that? You find me that player.
Clay Thompson.
That's he ain't going nowhere.
He ain't going anywhere.
They about that action.
What LeBron just said? Number one in the West. They said I couldn't do it. And meanwhile, Steph and Clay are like, excuse me? We just took a gap year.
Yeah. We about to get this last Thanos stone, because now we're going to be all back, and then we're going to get somebody that's going to be a young version of Draymond Green that can score, and we're going to be deep as could be, baby.
See, I love it, though. That's why. See, you get mad at LeBron for talking. I think it's great because he creates conversations because he talks. If he was the guy that said nothing, we'd have nothing to talk about. So that's why I appreciate him.
Because you know Kawhi won't say anything. But if the Clippers put out the Lakers and win the championship, Beverly's going to have all the smoke.
Oh, my God.
He's going to be the horse whispering puppet.
Don't you think Kawhi Beverly will go to Laker games in the bubble
No, they got
to
win. They got to win first. He would the next year, the great thing is when the season's over, we're going to be crowning him for the opening of the season like 2 months later.
Oh, my God.
And Patrick Beverly is going to show up on his off days in the front row to Lakers games with his ring.
There's a report, by the way, that just if you're a Knicks fan, get excited. You don't have to wait as long for the draft lottery. Instead of it being on the 25th of August, it's now on the 20th of August.
Ooh.
Yeah. So get ready for your LaMelo ball. Anyways.
Hey, I didn't know he's 6'8 now, bro. This dude's 6'8 now.
I'm so fascinated by his
6'8 now? He's 6'8 now, man?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's either going to be LaMelo ball.
That's like Penny Hardaway, bro. Like, that's a tall point guard dishing.
Yeah.
Now, he can improve his shooting, but, I mean, a lot of people need to do that.
He'll get better. I mean, it's his ball. His handle is off the charts, and his court vision is ridiculous. Like, he's got
6'8".
He can't defend, but, you know, that's today's NBA.
He don't got to, man.
All right, ready for audio files?
Let's do it.
Daily Audio File.
All right, speaking of LeBron, Brian Windhorst on Golic and Wingo lets us know that while you have these seeding games going on, right? Remember LeBron told you, you know, we're top seed, we're number one, we're the best in the West. So they don't really have to worry too much about where they are, right? Like, they just want to get into the playoffs. So with that in mind, how much do you think LeBron's going to play in these eight games?
LeBron has long talked about wanting to play. He's sort of done a shift as people have pulled back and taken games off. LeBron has played more. And I think one of the reasons he's felt the need to do that is because he feels like when he comes to, you know, a city one night in a year that a fan may have bought tickets and driven 3 hours, he doesn't want to let that fan down. He has talked about that a lot. Well, there's no fans here. And again, the television viewers will get to see him plenty. So I would expect that he would not play all eight games.
All right. So he saw the Last Dance documentary. He's going to pull the same quote.
No, he's been doing that. It's the Joe DiMaggio thing.
Don't give me that little brick. Don't give me that.
Well, there's nobody. He doesn't have to worry about letting anybody down who bought a ticket to watch him play. And there's no MVP for him to chase.
LeBron needs to play.
So stay preserved and be ready when the playoffs officially begin.
LeBron needs to play.
So who are they going to play anyway? Who's the eighth seed right now?
But LeBron, Memphis? LeBron's about rhythm. LeBron's been off. He has more than enough rest. Remember, his body told him it was time to shut down.
Yeah.
So now he needs to get himself back activated. He's not young. So he needs to get his timing back. He needs to get his rhythm back. Mm-hmm. Right. He needs to get some shots up. He needs to get some, like, what I'm doing in transition. He needs to get that coordination back. He needs to play. Now, if you're one of these younger guys, you know, you may not need to play. But LeBron is a machine. He's a creature of habit. And habit says close to playoff time, yeah, you rest a little bit, but you've already had that rest. So now you got to get that next level conditioning. Because we've seen LeBrick cramp up. And if you haven't done something full time in a long time, you could start cramping up, dehydration, overexertion.
Well, I'll tell you what. This is also where Anthony Davis then looks and goes, so I got to play in these games. I got to carry the team now. And if we fall out of the number one spot, is it now my fault?
Rondo will be the leading scorer.
Rondo's not even playing.
Oh, that's
all right.
Not.
Next up, that's right. Next up, more on the NBA bubble. You heard from Mark Spears, and he gave you an idea.
No Avery, no Rondo. Hold up, you just gonna skip over that?
Yeah, no, we knew this. Yeah.
I didn't know this.
Rondo broke his hand or something.
Oh, that's right. How the hell you break it? You know how big
he did something. I broke something. I don't know what
outside,
he broke.
Outside of Kawhi,
remember he called it Motel. Remember he called it Motel 6.
Yeah.
Outside. And meanwhile, they're staying at one of the nicest resorts in Disney World.
Called is it that Motel the Grand Floridian?
Oh, where are they? No, they're at the.
Okay.
The Destino, right? The Coronado one, the nice one.
Oh, okay. Well, that's amazing because Rondo got hands outside of Kawhi, the biggest hands in basketball.
Yeah.
It must have been a sledgehammer that broke them.
Anyways. So we're hearing players talk about the bubble and their experience in the bubble, and there's been a lot of complaining and some making fun and all the other stuff, like we just mentioned Rondo. Steven Adams, however, had a much different take, and it's one we can all appreciate.
It's not Syria, mate. It's not that hard. It's not that difficult, mate. We're living in a bloody resort. Everyone's got to complain. Everyone has their own preferences, mate, but it's not anything too serious. It's just a bit of dry food here and there and get bored every now and then. But it's actually pretty cool because you actually get to interact with a couple of the other players on the other team, you know?
I mean, it's not Syria.
Hey,
but also,
yeah, for real. It's perspective.
The interaction, everything else. I mean, he had the right attitude. Didn't he have the right attitude, yeah, though? That's
absolutely
the right attitude.
And gravy, aju, Worcestershire sauce can rehydrate anything that's dry. Don't even worry about it, bro. You can rehydrate it.
But the complaining is just to me.
They're complaining because they're trying to get attention.
Like, what'd you think it was going to be?
I'm telling you.
You think you're going to have your own chef, like, sitting there making dinner for you? You want your presentation? You want the little parsley on the plate? Come on.
Everybody's under pressure to say something to get clicks. Remember, this world is you get millions of dollars for being able to get millions of followers to be able to tweet and talk about something. This is the best time to be able to give fans an inside look. So you only get, it's like Page Six. People like negative stuff, so they've given them negative stuff. They don't really mean it, man. Like you said, like, you know, it's the greatest time of your life, man. You feel safer there than anywhere else.
That's what Spears said. Speaking of being that positive influence. So you were on the K Show yesterday, right, with Don LaGreca, and you got to play Last One Standing, which I've participated in, failed miserably at times, maybe might have tanked once or twice. You were on the show, and you did something that was unprecedented in the history of sports talk radio trivia competition. Listen to this.
I can't think give of him his to name.
You, you want to phone me? You want to phone me? I'll help you. We teammates. I help you.
No, you're actually the complete opposite of teammates.
Yeah, Larry Brown. Larry Brown. I got it. So go with the other two.
You gave Don the answer, and you were competing with him.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to push myself. You know what I mean? I felt like I still had a lot more in the game. I tanked out on Matt Slauson, but, you know, it's all good. I mean, I don't think a lot of people remember Matt Slauson. So,
no, I remember Matt Slauson.
Yeah, but you didn't know that he replaced Alan Faneca in 2010. I thought he came later.
Yeah, and Faneca, by the way, I mean, what a huge part of that offensive line. Like those 2 years.
He gave him credibility, experience.
Oh, my God. Well, you had the two young guys, and then you had him. It was such a – Woody. I mean, what a good offensive line that was.
Brandon Tremendous. Moore was like the little engine that could.
With Sean Green, with Thomas – it didn't matter who was running behind them. I mean, that line was ridiculous.
No, remember.
That's why
remember.
You feel bad for Slauson, because it's like he comes in and, like, the line wasn't the same. And yeah. It's sort of like, well, let's see. Who's the new guy?
But the craziest thing is, just imagine if those teams would have stayed healthy. Because we always talk about Sean Green. Mm-hmm. We always talk about Thomas Jones. We never talk about Leon Washington and him having that compound fracture.
Oh, man, yes.
Like that was the X factor. That was our Deion Lewis. That was our do-everything guy.
Yeah.
And to lose Chris Jenkins. We would have just stayed healthy. We would have had a whole nother level and layer for Sanchez to be able to shine and grind.
Well, that's audio files. Yeah, somehow it led into a whole talk about the Jets and past history. And
the New York J-E-T-E Jets.
Oh man, that dude has a master's. That's the discouragement. That dude's the only dude that got a master's in the NBA, NFL. It was just and he couldn't spell Jets.
These things happen.
They only happen to Jets.
Donnie apparently wants to fight me on something I talked about yesterday when I was by myself.
Ooh.
Well.
Challenge.
He was. You were off hanging out with him. I had to go solo, and I had a pretty strong take on, you know, as we get back to sports, Bart, I was saying how, let's not forget where we are in New York sports, right? We're excited to get it back. That's great. But as the Elias Sports Bureau pointed out, we're in the longest championship drought in the city's history.
Yeah, man.
Like all these teams, 72 combined seasons without a title. That's the longest. That's by double the longest amount. Okay, 8 years. Like, it's been too long. So who has the best chance to break that? I think the Yankees have the best chance. But let me ask you, because I asked everybody else. I'll ask you. Who, if you were to pick, all right, so who's second in line?
The
so
Nets.
If we accept that the Yankees are that team.
The Nets.
Who would be the team that you would say has the second best chance?
I would say the Nets. Because, Brooklyn. I mean, you talk about having two top 10 players with the ability to attract another
one.
You know,
right.
Kyrie would sell off his firstborn, you know, to get a championship. And in basketball terms, Harrison and LeVert is his firstborn and Dinwiddie. So he'll force all of them out to get whatever he needs to have his own version of a big three, as long as DeAndre Jordan gets to stay because he's part of the package deal.
Yeah, he has a value in some way. But, I thought the Nets, and then even after that, it sort of really gets dicey because you could say Rangers or Islanders because it's a lot easier. You know, it's more parity. It's not easy to win the Stanley Cup, but there's more parity. If you get good enough goaltending, you got a shot.
Right.
And then, I mean, where are the Mets? We don't know.
They got that. Like, we know they got that, right?
Well, yeah.
Especially with the new
Rangers
Russian
do.
Coming over.
Yeah, the Rangers do.
And the Islanders.
And the Islanders have their, they do have their Russian as well. Licensed to Ilya. But you know, like when you look at the rest of the city, and I'm talking about the major teams, by the way, so don't everybody get all upset if we're not mentioning like one of the smaller, minor sport teams that are in the city, okay? We're talking about the major ones.
Yeah, get that Red Bull stuff.
It's to me just, you know, I don't think there's anybody that's really that close. And there's been so much turnover, but maybe we're looking forward now into this decade of a decade where we can kind of get back to a point where not where also Rand isn't something we're celebrating around here.
Yeah.
So, hey, made it to the Stanley Cup Final. Hey, made it to the World Series. That's great. Did you win it? No, you didn't. You know, like we're talking about actually winning a championship.
Oh. hopefully expectations are changing, because when you look at what the Rangers did, you look at what the Islanders did, mm-hmm. they brought in people that were proven commodities.
Yes.
And especially they brought the in people. And what do I always, mm-hmm. what do I always talk about? I talk about teachers. They brought in teachers.
Great point.
Now, I don't know anything about Adam Gase.
Well, that's what you worry about the football teams, too. You don't know what Judge is, and you got Gettleman there, and there's not a lot of confidence in Gettleman after what he's done. The Giants have the most cap money right now.
But it is a lot of confidence in Jason Garrett, and it is a lot of confidence in Greg Williams. So you know that they do have an adult on the staff that should be able to be a professional.
But it has a lot of experience. It's so important for Sam. All right, we got about 2 minutes here. Just to update everybody, so the poll that we put out at the beginning of the show on Bart and Hahn on Twitter was just basically asking, should there be a preseason game, at least one preseason game? And 56% said yes. 50, that's it? Jets and Giants fan? You're like, least one, and you're like, only 56%?
Did they not listen to my cry for help? Did they not understand what I was saying, the words that was coming out of my mouth? I laid it out for you, and this is the best that you can come up with? 50, how many percent? It's not 56. A damn enough. 56% not enough. Come on, man.
Yeah.
I just told you why. So now when you see that ugly flag holding, blocking the back, offsides, false start, and you see all that crap, then you're going to know why. Because guess what? That's going to be their first preseason game, and they're going to be going against people that they're afraid of.
Well, God help you if Daniel Jones or Saquon gets hurt or Sam gets hurt again. Like, I mean, because somebody didn't know the player, wasn't prepared yet because they didn't have the experience of the preseason. Please.
You don't want to get Nate Solder an opportunity to get the rust off him. Yeah, good job. He just finished the season thriving. Amazing.
Quickly here as we're closing out and heading over to the K-Show, there's internet rumors just circulating right now about, a third interview for Kenny Atkinson
just
with
Google
the Knicks job. There's this. I've been telling you this since last week. I feel like this is the week the Knicks will probably announce. Tom Thibodeau is the guy that everybody believes is going to get the job. But boy, Kenny's name is suddenly out there. It's internet rumor, though. I can't confirm it. I don't know that he had a third interview. I know he's interviewed, and that he's always been in the mix. But I haven't heard anything other than that. Everybody knows Kenny's a friend of mine. I love him. I'd love him to get the job. Guy hasn't returned a text because obvious reasons. He doesn't want to compromise it, and I hope he gets it. But we'll see, and maybe we'll know in the next 24 to 48 hours. We'll find out. But internet rumors, always beware. Bart, it was great to have you back. Chris Canty on now next with Don LaGreca. And Bart, I'll see you tomorrow.
Ahala.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn Show podcast. Listen live weekdays from 1 to 3 on 98.7 ESPN.